In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christos Anesti. Alethos Anesti. Christ is risen, alleluia. He is risen indeed, alleluia. Resurrection blessings to all of you on this Sunday of Easter. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice. Alleluia. This Sunday of Easter celebrates an entirely new possibility for human living, the hope of a transformation to live the divinity of Jesus Christ. Through the gifts of the Holy Spirit that the risen Jesus breathes on his church, may each of us graciously respond to his invitation to live more deeply his passion, death, and glorious resurrection and ascension, and be drawn into loving communion with God our Father. You are listening to Encountering Jesus with the Church Fathers, a podcast pondering patristic commentary and insight on the sacred scriptures, the sacred liturgy, and living as a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am your host, Father Mark, and I welcome you to this podcast on Easter, the fourth Sunday. Guiding us today in opening the Word of God, once again, is a revered doctor of the Church, St. Peter Chrysologus, who died in the year 450. As Archbishop of Ravenna, he was a zealous pastor and gifted preacher who contributed significant insights to the Nicene-Constantinopolitan Creed, defending the true divinity and true humanity of the divine person, Jesus. And now, an excerpt from his Sermon 40, The Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd, the text reads, lays down his life for his sheep. The force of love makes a man brave, because genuine love counts nothing as hard or bitter or serious or deadly. What sword, what wounds, what penalty, what deaths can avail to overcome perfect love? Love is an impenetrable breastplate. It wards off missiles, sheds the blows of swords, taunts dangers, laughs at death. If love is present, it conquers everything. But is that the death of the shepherd advantageous to the sheep? Let us investigate. It leaves them abandoned, exposes them defenseless to the wolves, hands over the beloved flock to the gnawing jaws of beasts, gives them over to plunder, and exposes them to death. All this is proved by the death of the shepherd Christ. From the time when he laid down his life for his sheep and permitted himself to be slain through the fury of his captors, his sheep have been suffering invasions. Like prisoners to be slain in jails, they are shut up in the caves of robbers. They are torn unceasingly by persecutors, who are like raging wolves. They are snapped at by heretics, who are like mad dogs with savage teeth. The martyred choir of apostles proves this. The blood of the martyrs shed throughout the whole world proclaims it. The members of Christians thrown to the beasts, or consumed with fire, or sunk in the rivers, clearly display it. And truly, just as the death of the shepherd brought all this in, so could his life have prevented it. In the light of all this, does the shepherd prove his love for you by his death? Is he proving his love because, when he sees danger threatening his sheep, he cannot defend his flock? He prefers to die before he sees any evil done to the sheep? But what are we to do, since the life himself could not die unless he had decided to? Who could have taken life away from the giver of life if he were unwilling? He himself said, "I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it up again. No one takes it from me." Therefore, he willed to die. He who permitted himself to be slain, although he was unable to die. Hence, let us investigate the strength and the reason of this love, the cause of his death, and the utility of this passion. Clearly, there is an established strength, a true reason, a lucid cause, a patent utility in all this blood. For unique power sprang forth from the one death of the shepherd. For the sake of his sheep, the shepherd met the death which was threatening them. He did this that, by a new arrangement, he might, although himself captured, capture the devil, the author of death, that, although conquered himself, he might conquer, that, although slain himself, he might punish, that, by dying for his sheep, he might open the way for them to conquer death. The devil, too, while he aimed at man, made an attempt on God. While he grows furious at the guilty one, he runs up against his judge. While he inflicts pain, he incurs torture. While he is issuing a sentence, he receives one. And death, which lives by feeding upon mortals, dies while it is devouring the life. Death, which swallows guilty men, gets swallowed up while it is gulping down the author of innocence. Death, accustomed to destroy all, perishes itself while it tries to destroy the salvation of all. Therefore, by giving a pattern like this, the shepherd went before his sheep. He did not run away from them. He did not surrender the sheep to the wolves, but he consigned the wolves to the sheep. For he enabled his sheep to pick out their robbers in such a way that the sheep, although slain, should live, although mangled, should rise again, and, colored by their own blood, should gleam in royal purple and shine with snow-white fleece. In this way, when the good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep, he did not lose it. In this way, he held his sheep. He did not abandon them. Indeed, he did not forsake them, but invited them. He called and led them through fields full of death and a road of death to life-giving pastures. But someone will say, when will all this occur? Look, for the time being, the sheep, that is, the apostles, the prophets, the martyrs, and the confessors, lie in their tombs. They have been plucked like flowers and scattered all over the globe. Shrouded with their own blood, they lie shut up in the darksome sepulchres. And who doubts that these slain martyrs will arise and live and reign, since Christ himself, though slain, has arisen and lives and reigns. Hear the voice of the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. The sheep who have followed him to death must also follow him to life. They who have accompanied him into the midst of insults must also accompany him into honor. They who shared his passion must also share his glory. Where I am, he says, there also shall my servant be. Where? Truly above the skies, where Christ is sitting at the Father's right hand. O man, let not living by faith disturb you, nor the long time you must hope fatigue you. Your destiny is a certain one, and is being kept for you with the very author of all things. You have died, Scripture says, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ your glory shall appear, then you too will appear with him in glory. What the toiling sower does not see in his seed, he will see in the harvest. And he who weeps while he sows in the furrow will have great joy in the fruit. St. Peter Chrysologus, pray for us. Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, lead us to share in the joys of heaven, so that the humble flock may reach where the brave shepherd has gone before, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord.